Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Welcome to the GGB Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week we sit down with Brendan Bussman, a partner and director of government affairs for Global Market Advisors, on how the way Macau dealt with the coronavirus and closed down for 2 weeks, only to reopen again. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com.
Having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery calls for me.
In today's special GGB News report, Brendan Bussman, the Director of Government Affairs for Global Market Advisors, describes the way Macau dealt with the advancing of coronavirus by closing and then reopening its casinos. He also talks about how other Asian countries have made decisions regarding closing their own casinos in Vietnam, Cambodia, the Philippines, and other jurisdictions. Are there lessons to be learned on other countries? Since Macau has opened its casinos, revenues have barely recovered, dropping 80% from the figures posted in March 2019. What does this mean for the possible reopening of the U.S. industry? Bussman spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas on March 31st.
One party and then another.
Brendan Bussman, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, this special edition of the podcast where I want to talk about Asia, how they have been impacted by the coronavirus and also how they've responded. So why don't you start off with giving us a little history of what happened in Macau when it was discovered that it had infected a couple of casino workers there.
Well, first and foremost, Roger, thanks for allowing me to join you today and appreciate the opportunity to talk about Asia, Macau, and everything else in between. You know, as we've looked over the last couple months, as the industry has been faced with the challenges with the coronavirus, you know, Macau was sort of that first level of defense of where things hit.
Right.
And the casino shut down there for roughly a two-week period. Obviously, the dynamics in Macau when it came to labor and those types of things are completely different. But I think it gave those operators that operate over there, especially ones in the U.S., MGM and Sands and Wynn, and the opportunity to say, okay, if and when this hits the U.S., which obviously it has at this point, what lessons can we learn and how do we need to go about it? And obviously, Macau since then has put in some policies with regard to social distancing and other things along the way and cleaning, and I think operators that went through that experience a month and a half ago have learned from that, prepared for that, and moving forward. And obviously, there's lessons that can go throughout the rest of the industry here in the U.S. And as you're seeing casinos back now in Asia and Cambodia, Vietnam, and other places start to shut down or have shut down and are facing the same thing.
Right. So we saw them reopen, again, roughly 2 weeks after they closed, but it seems to have just barely reopened. I mean, as you mentioned, they have social distancing. Will they allow three or four people at a table, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so they've limited people at tables. That's for some of the first edicts. Obviously, the amount of cleaning and those types of things have been upped. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the biggest challenges that you face right now in Macau is, while Macau may be open, people aren't still able to go there.
Right.
I saw a stat earlier this week that, you know, you had hundreds of people as opposed crossing the border over, and those were low 100s versus six figures that were passing typically over the same period year over year. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising to see the revenue levels where it's at today. And it's still got a long way to come back, but at least it's moving in the right direction that it is open, and hopefully that happens throughout the rest of the world as we continue to fight the unknown enemy here.
Right. So they have also a quarantine now. If you come across from any other country other than what is it, just Guangdong?
That pretty much is about the only safe zone, only because Hong Kong has obviously put in its procedures along the way, both ways coming in. You know, speaking with my colleagues and friends over in Hong Kong, I empathize with them probably more than anybody, because if you look at what they've been through in the last year, from the protests to, you know, everything else, and now with the coronavirus, they've been hammered left, right, and otherwise, and create a completely new world. But, you know, you continually are seeing things out of China that – the virus may or may not be, you know, coming back for a second round along the way. Mm-hmm. I've seen some early reports of that early today. We just have to see how this plays out and when, you know, border gates and other things will be able to reopen so Macau can reopen, both from a local and an immediate region standpoint, as well as being able to have good air traffic start coming into Macau and Hong Kong again.
Yeah, no question about that. So obviously a big part of the Macau market is the VIP market. They have their special rooms to gamble in and things of that nature. Is that the one that's come back quickly, or is it still the mass market that's trickling across the border?
You know, I think, and I haven't delved completely into the numbers that were released today to specifically mm-hmm. look what is mass, premium mass, and VIP off of that. But obviously, a lot of those larger players are probably coming in from other markets as opposed to the current sure. immediate local area.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to take a lot for all three of those segments to reemerge back to the levels
right.
That they were at, and probably, you know, assuming that, you know, everything were lifted today, which obviously that's not going to be the case, we're probably, you know, multiple months, if not years, away from reaching those levels back to the peak, just because we have to see, you know, how people respond when things do get back to a normal lifting of restrictions.
Sure. So now when they come across the border, again, it's just Guangdong where there's no restrictions, just a normal border crossing restriction. But anywhere else in China, do they have to, like, give a 14-day quarantine then?
Well, some of the reports I saw just earlier today is that they've put the country somewhat back on lockdown. And mm-hmm. I think that's partially because they want to keep foreigners out.
Right.
Which, you know, there probably isn't much of a border around the world at this point that's open that doesn't include a quarantine. Even
right.
here in Nevada, you know, you saw what the governor issued yesterday.
Well,
that's
voluntary. I don't think Macau is voluntary.
With that, and obviously, it's a lot different over there, no different than what we saw, you know, from a labor standpoint you know, you saw when the 14-day restriction went in. On the closing casinos, you did see some of the junket operators sort of push back on payment and that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. and it was strongly encouraged
right.
That they continue their practices, even though that there was a health crisis going on.
Right. Now, and I understand that they've I don't want to say seized, but they're utilizing some of the smaller hotels for these 14-day quarantines.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, and I think that. People will continue to get creative as they look at capacity to either, one, quarantine people, which obviously it's a lot easier to quarantine people in Macau and,
right.
and the greater China market than it is in other places pretty much around the world
right.
Along the way. You know, and we'll see what the reaction is off of some of that coming out of the chute down the way.
Right.
And obviously you could use the same example they've talked about using some of the hotels in New York, not mm-hmm. just for the quarantine, but for treating people
sure.
That may acquire the virus. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out, but obviously that's a factor that they're able to do some of that along the way.
Okay. So I've read that the new chief executive in Macau, Chief Executive Ho, is not really pleased with the casino's response to this. Do you think that could impact the resubmissions of the concessions?
Well, I think licensure obviously is one of the back questions that everybody's asking, because it's, you know, within the next 2 years. And obviously going into this, you know, you go back 6 months, everybody was going, how is this going to work in the beginning? Because obviously now everybody was on the same timeline, moving the two from 20 to 22. I think obviously that's going to play a factor, but there's other factors that the Macanese and the greater Beijing authorities have also been looking at, no different than, you know, potential investment in Japan and other places along the way as it relates to gaming and non-gaming investment. So there's a lot of factors. I won't be surprised if this is one of them along the way of how you handle the situation.
So I saw a projection from one of the banks earlier this week that revenue for Macau is going to be 50% lower for the whole year 2020. Does that seem reasonable to you?
You know, if you look at the figures today, which you know, some people are putting it at 79.7 versus
right.
just rounding to 80. I like the optimistic of the 7 versus the 8.
Right.
I think absolutely that – I mean, I think that's a fair assessment right now. But as I continually say to everyone, the only two words you can really bank on right now are unprecedented and uncertain. Mm-hmm. So until we see how this plays out and how people respond – and if there's a second wave, there's so many factors into that. I think that's a fair estimate right now, but let's see how this all plays out.
Okay. iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast.
So what kind of lessons does this teach? And let's talk specifically about Nevada right now, because Nevada is kind of like Macau. Most of its business comes from outside of the state. So today the governor just extended the stay-at-home order till April 30th, which has kind of been what the casinos have been projecting ever since the start, that they'd get back into business by May 1st. And frankly, I don't think the state can go much longer than that, no matter what. I mean, I've also saw a projection the other day that the cases of COVID-19 are gonna peak in mid-April and start to decline after that. And certainly the heat in Nevada is a factor of surviving that. So what do you think the casinos are going to look like when they do reopen?
Well, I think that's a very good question, and it's a question that, you know, we've continued to been talking with a host of people about, stakeholders, whether they be operators, investment banks, media along the way. Obviously, with the extension of the order, anything from a room reservation standpoint probably can't get up and going, as some people already had coming in the 17th. Right. That's at least now going to move to the 1st of May. Mm-hmm. Along the way. But the ramp up is going to be a challenge. And I look at it from four points. Of one, you've got to get your people in place.
Right.
And obviously those that have unfortunately had to furlough or lay off people, you've got to rehire. So obviously there's some time to be able to do that.
Right.
And we don't know how that's going to play out over the next 30 days. You've got to get your product in, because it's not like you're stocked with food and right. all the goods and services you typically do in these small cities. Because you either gave them away and doing the right thing and mm-hmm. donating, or you just need more because it was going to perish type right. thing. The third is the operational sense out there of what do I need to do and how do I right size to bank on what may or may not be coming, which goes especially to Vegas versus regional markets, lift that's coming into McCarran and how much people are doing that. And obviously that's going to rely a little bit on the airlines and what they are or aren't able to do, and how people may or may not feel comfortable along the way to do it. And then the fourth is obviously the regulatory component, because mm-hmm. basically you're reopening every casino.
Right.
And obviously there's a procedure that the game control board is going to want to go through to make sure your counts are right, they're on where they were when you left off, mm-hmm. And to be able to do that. And it's hard to jumpstart, you know, the all the casinos in the state at once. Mm-hmm. To be able to do that, to say go. Right. So until those four things, you know, are able to occur and people realize, okay, here's our potential start date, and then backfill along the way.
Right.
But hopefully May is a good emerging month for Las Vegas and the greater Nevada area.
Mm-hmm. So I think what a lot of the employees who have been furloughed don't really understand right now is they're probably not going to get their jobs back right away. It's going to be, you know, people with seniority or maybe people who are not as susceptible, you know, younger people. So how do you think that's going to play out?
You know, I think each group operator, it has to evaluate how they one have treated and gone through the furlough and layoff process. And obviously some of those have been blanket, hey, we just can't sustain everybody. We'll bring you back as we can. Others have sort of done an attrition process of, you know, hey, we got eliminated this portion. Okay, we're going longer. So, you know, for those that sort of took the phased approach, I think it's probably going to be last out, first in, just because there were certain things that you probably were doing otherwise. But it'll be interesting to see those places that laid off, you know, 90 plus percent of their people, how they bring people back and, mm-hmm. and be able to do that. Because it's a monumental task for HR to do that, yeah, of all of a sudden say, hey, Roger, come on in. We're ready to jumpstart you. You know, in the meantime, you're probably also looking for work just because you need a job. And
sure, right.
It's important considering the level of unemployment you're going to have in the state right now.
Right, right. So you mentioned the level of comfort that the customers will have in returning. I'm assuming there's going to have to be that social distancing even when they do reopen. So what they were doing toward the end, toward the closings, where they were, you know, opening up one out of three slot machines and making three people sit at a table, only three players. Do you think that's going to be kind of enforced in the casino industry for a while?
I think we'll have to see. Obviously, the two people that will have the best answer to that is, one, what do we need to do medically, and what are they saying at a national and state level off of that to rely on the medical experts? But two, obviously, what is the Gaming Control Board going to be comfortable with from that sense as well?
Mm-hmm.
The third factor in there is, what are people going to be comfortable with too?
Right.
And obviously, we don't know the effects of how this may, you know, look from a psyche standpoint along the way. But I think obviously operators are going to take the precautions to make sure that their guests are going to feel comfortable. You know, one of the things that good operators will do is make sure that level of hospitality remains. And that portion now is going to have to be making sure that machines look clean.
Right.
You have that ability to have that out there to have that distancing that people will feel comfortable with. So, you know, I think everybody's trying to figure out what that is, but obviously we need to see what the professionals are also telling us at that point in time.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously the health thing is the most important thing for the employees and the customers. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you know, you've seen the industry respond in a favorable manner, not only to make sure their employees and their guests were taken care of from a health perspective, but also in the support of the health community here in Vegas and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's talk about some of the other countries in Asia. I know I just saw today that Cambodia and Vietnam have put a closure order on all their casinos. Have they said how long?
You know, most of them right now are showing about 14 days of where this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, because obviously, as we talked about earlier, Macau did a 14-day, and then obviously there's, I'll call it the slow ramp-up, just because the trickle that's coming across the border. So we have to sort of see how that plays out, and obviously that's going to dictate by their countries what cases they may or may not see and what surge they may see in that curve as this goes into play. You know, you also saw stuff with the Philippines and not only looking at the brick and mortar, but looking at the online as well.
Sure, right.
And obviously that's a whole world on the pogo side that, you know, has had its issues, especially over the last 6 months from a regulatory side.
Even before this process.
Yeah, so part of that, I think, is, hey, let's get this in check while we have this shutdown process in place.
But you would think they would kind of lean on the POGOs to get some revenue now with you know, I mean, that's certainly what's happened in New Jersey with their online presence.
Well, and I think online is definitely something that we continue to hear from operators around the world. You know, you brought up Jersey, you've brought up the Philippines that obviously have continued to develop robust online programs. And I think more people are going to look at that as a, what can we do to incorporate that in a more meaningful way in our brick and mortar? You know, the one thing I will say is there's some good operators out there, even in non-online gaming states, that are using free-to-play in a meaningful way that I know will translate. It did when casinos were open. Into translating that along the way. And it's, you know, using a phone or using a computer at home has now become even more essential since people are working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes, if you're in a stay-at-home situation, is your only form of entertainment.
Sure. They're ordering food from home, ordering from grocery stores from home. So it's really transformed that. So, you know, again, I think while this is obviously a terrible situation for the land-based casinos, I think it's an opportunity for online.
Absolutely. And while there will be those naysayers out there along the way for different reasons, just from, you know, a business standpoint that they're not sure how it would work, or two, from a philosophical standpoint, which probably is the louder voice out there, especially in the U.S. market right now, it's definitely a discussion we need to have. You know, there's no reason why in states, and I think you'll continually see this in Michigan being an example, if I can wager on sports on my phone and do it in a meaningful way, and you can do all the KYC and AML and all the other procedures why am I not able to play slots or poker in the same way and have that same assurance that the right person's doing the right thing?
Yeah, no question. And so how is this going to impact the Japan integrated resort bidding process?
You know, that's a very good question. I think it's one that Japan is wrestling with, and you're seeing sort of a little bit of back and forth on how that's going to go. You know, obviously the Olympics have been delayed almost by a year to the day.
Right.
And so I think that milestone being out there and pushing it out hopefully will have people look at a timeline when it comes to IRs. And what needs to happen. You know, you've recently seen Osaka take a 3-month pause and say, as opposed to everything being due in April, it's now due in July. But in the same breath, you saw Wakayama announce this week they're pushing forward with a roughly November deadline of when they would choose an operator along the way. I think the biggest challenge that exists and why the Wakayamas of the world continue to push forward, as well as the Osakas only delaying their process by 3 months, is the central government still has in place the deadline of January through July of 2021 when applications will be accepted.
Right.
And if you look at those timelines, people need to start moving now to be able to do it. The challenge for operators on that side is twofold. One, obviously making sure, because of everything that's occurred, you have the good balance sheet that you may have had going into this so that you can still make the investment in what I still believe is a great opportunity in Japan. But two, we still don't have the fundamental policy in place, which is done at the central government level. And operators want to know the full environment which they're operating in. You know, where are taxes going to count? When are they not going to count? How am I counting square footage? And I think if we could get the central government to issue those, it would help the process along the way. And there's no reason why a 3 to 6 month delay in the process is going to hinder that, especially because with the stopgap removed in Osaka of World Expo and trying to meet that 2025 deadline, which was tough to begin with. Let's do this right and get it in the right way so they have the best operators and create the best market in Japan.
Okay. And one other foreign story that that just broke this week, and it's kind of has nothing to do with coronavirus, and it was kind of underplayed because of that, was the president of Brazil came out and said he's not going to support the legalization of casinos in Brazil. Is that do you see that as a hard and fast stop now for gaming development in Brazil?
You know, Brazil has always been one of those markets that has been an up and down market. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. You know, one of the concerns I think that everybody has, both the stakeholders down there as well as the parties that are interested, is making sure you have a strong regulatory structure that allows the best operators to invest and doesn't put their licenses in jeopardy in operations like Nevada or Singapore or Macau or elsewhere. I think this is just another bump in the long story of what has happened and what will continue to happen in Brazil. And we'll just have to see how this story plays out. Bolsonaro definitely has some interesting views off of things, as well as everybody else. And it's a market we're just going to have to continue. But is there opportunity down there? Yes. But you have to make sure it's set up in the right way. And they have some challenges to get through first. So
no question.
Doesn't surprise me you have a delay now.
Right. Well, with the president saying no.
Yeah. With the president saying no, it's
pretty tough.
It makes it even harder. Yeah. But, you know, they've also got to figure out their sports betting situation first, which is front and center.
Sure. So. No question. Well, Brendan, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us. It's always good to catch up with you and your global market advisors colleagues, because you guys are the experts in the business as far as we're concerned. So thanks for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Look
forward to catching up again soon.
And then another. I broke her heart so many times.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about the gaming industry in Asia and its position in this crisis, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus pandemic and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.
Starts the same old thing again.